Our program right now, and we've entitled it "What in the Word?" Not "What in the World?" Because apart from knowing what in the Word, you will have no clue about what's going on in the world. And so we really don't need to know as much about what's going on in the world as much as we know what's going on in the Word. And I have learned through my, it's been about 33 years now in my Christian life, I've learned to depend more and more upon the Word. Not my feelings, because my feelings are up one day, down the next, but the Word of God is something that can be trusted again and again. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And we're going to read for our text this morning, verses 13 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Matthew chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now this jot and this tittle are the very smallest symbols in the Hebrew and in the Greek languages, the smallest symbols and the smallest letters. He says not one of those will pass till all be fulfilled. Verse number 19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." I want to bring a message this morning. I was really attempting to focus in on the ministry or the job of the scribes. But the more that I look at this passage in particular, the more that God sort of took me away from that for now. We will look at the job of the scribes at some point in the future. But the title of the message this morning is "The Sort of Righteousness That Brings Reward." The sort of righteousness that brings reward. Let's pray together one more time over the message. Father, we're thankful again for the Word. We're thankful that we can depend upon the living Word, Jesus Christ. But we're thankful also that we can depend upon the written Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for all the prophecies and therefore promises that have already been fulfilled. And we're thankful that there are more to come. And I pray that we'll pay special attention to our relationship with the Word this morning, realizing that there is reward based on that relationship. I pray that if there is one this morning who does not truly understand the relationship that we were meant to have with you, God, the relationship that was supplied by the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. I pray if there's one like that this morning, I pray that they'll be convicted about their sin and be willing to turn to You before the day is done. Help them not to put it off till tomorrow. Lord, understanding that none of us are promised tomorrow. Help us with these things this morning. Make these truths very evident in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Who doesn't like the sound of a reward? Right? Except. It is the word that brings to mind the asterisk that denotes fine print. Y'all know about fine print, right? You see them in commercials. You see them everywhere. Don't you love these medication commercials, for instance? They tell you about all the amazing things that they can do, and at the very end, somebody reads very quickly all the different things that you got to watch out for. Credit card commercials, for instance. Oh, this is a great and a wonderful credit card and a great loan that we have for you. And then somebody at the very end reads very quickly the fine print. But the fine print is crucially important, isn't it? We understand the reward to be the carrot. And yet, how many people really desire a carrot? Oh, I understand. The carrot reference relates to the beast who's been programmed to really like carrots. But people are more complex, though. Ask us whether we prefer a carrot or a candy bar and see which one wins out overall. Before we make our choice, though, would we be interested in the fine print? It's called, in this context, a food label. And it displays nutrition facts. Well, with proper reading and comprehension, the choice becomes much easier depending on the goal. Now, listen to me this morning. Worldly approval and admiration, largely speaking, is the candy bar. While God's acceptance and approval is the carrot. The earthly reward tastes good immediately and fills us momentarily, while God's reward is more of an acquired taste, and the filling, it's permanent. How about more fine print? The word reward, biblically speaking, can either be positive or negative. For instance, in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 17, Saul, David's arch enemy at the time, says to David, "You've rewarded me good, and yet all I've done is rewarded you evil." So a reward can be either positive or negative. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 14, Paul is talking about a man by the name of Alexander, and he says that Alexander has withstood him and withstood his ministry. And then he says this, "The Lord reward him according to his work." That wasn't a positive thing that Paul was saying there about the man named Alexander. Given all the information, we might very well choose the carrot over the candy bar. In our text passage, Jesus gives us all the information, all the fine print, if you will, and a choice, hear me this morning, must be made. The ramifications of that choice include the esteem of the king, and even entrance into his kingdom. So it's very, very important this morning how we choose as to the reward. And what we want to do this morning is we want to look at this passage and we want to see the sort of reward that righteousness ultimately would bring, or the sort of righteousness that brings a reward worth having. Now, I want you to see these things this morning very quickly. Number one, I want you to notice in our text passage the substance. The substance. You'll find that in verses 13 through 16. And he talks about two substances, salt and light. Salt and light. What is a substance anyway? One of the definitions from Webster is a physical material from which something is made or which has discrete existence. Now, that word existence is very, very important. In other words, this substance, whatever it may be, it exists for a specific purpose. And salt and light exist for a discrete purpose. Now, I want you to hold your finger there in Matthew chapter 5 for a moment and go to Psalm chapter 148, the book of Psalms, chapter number 148. The substance, or the substances, salt and light. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. By the way, I've been thinking a lot about the sun here recently. I was thinking about it again as we think about our logo and our tagline that we put together a few years ago for the branding of our church, Let the Sun Shine In. And I remember when we sort of started talking about that and kicking that around. Now, I didn't get it where some others, anyway, remember that line from. But it's actually a very, very famous line in a rock song of years gone by. It wasn't a little over 50 years ago that that line was used by a famous band, Let the Sun Shine In. And I remember when we began to talk about that, some said, well, you know, maybe people are going to be thinking about that lyric from that song and all of that. And then I had to push back a little bit. It wasn't like there was an argument or anything like that. But I had to push back in this respect. The Lord is the one that created the sun and the sunshine. And He meant it for good. It's the same way that we've said before. The Lord is the one that created the rainbow. And He meant it for good. So it doesn't matter what man does with all of these things. Ultimately, the substance was created by God, and guess what? It was made for the purpose to praise the Lord. The sun and the moon, praise Him, all ye stars of light. The sun is an amazing thing. I read that like a million Earths would fit in the sun. Can you imagine that? Just really tremendous. Praise ye Him. Verse number 4. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Amazing. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. You say, what is the purpose for salt and light? Ultimately, to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord. Now, how do we know that? Well, we'll say a little bit more about that here in just a moment. But we see a little bit more about this matter in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. The substance, as we think about these things. What is the substance of salt and light? What is its purpose? Its discrete existence. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Now notice this. All things were created by him. This is very important. And for him. And for him. So this salt and light, it's included in the all things. The Bible says it was created for him. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So no matter whether it's salt or light or any other substance, it was created for God's praise and for God's pleasure. That's very important for us to understand. Now, then we get into this substance and what he's actually talking about. Number one, the person of the substance. He doesn't simply talk about salt and light in its original purpose as we would think about it. He says this, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world." So there's a person here. Who is he speaking to? Well, when you go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," so he's talking about his disciples and talking to his disciples, and he says, "Ye," or "you," "are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." We look there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18, there in our text passage again. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." The person of the substance. So in other words, there's something deeper here. There's a likeness. There's a representation to this substance. And God is saying to us, this substance has a reason or a purpose for its existence, and you are to be like this substance. You, my disciples. So that's the person. Think for a moment about the properties. Now, we could get into this morning the chemical elements and the makeup of the properties of these substances and probably put everybody to sleep. But ultimately, what we're looking at is two specific substances with specific properties. Salt is the first one. It is for pleasing and preserving primarily. For pleasing and preserving. Take away the salt from our food, either that which is naturally in it or that which we add to it, and we'll have a very sad food existence. Salt is used in so many things. Now, if you're one this morning that puts salt on things like watermelon, you need to get right with God, all right? Just as simple as that. Salt was not meant for watermelon. But you can put it on some things like grits. Grits do not need sugar. They need salt. Nod your head up and down this morning. And if you're a Yankee, then go back to where you came from, all right? But I'm just talking about salt. And when we put it on things, it can be pleasing to the palate, but it also preserves. And in years gone by, even more so, now that we have refrigeration and things of that nature, we don't use it as much in that way. But in that day and time, it was for pleasing and preserving. What about light? Light is for preventing and promoting. Preventing and promoting. What does light do for many, many a criminal? When the lights come on, they scatter away. They're known as security lights. Jesus talked about this very thing. He says, why do men do what they do? Why do they live these sinful lives? Well, they love darkness rather than the light. When they're in the dark, their works are not exposed. But when the light comes to pass, it exposes, so it prevents in that way. Not only that, it promotes. You say, what do you mean by that? It shows the way. When the lights are turned on, you know you can go further into the room or wherever it may be, and it promotes you to go forward. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world. So what is he saying? He is saying that his disciples are supposed to be pleasing to the palate of others. That we're supposed to be preserving in our society. That our society should not rot and decay. When disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are doing what we ought to be doing, we are to be preventing, keeping the evil from just going and having its way throughout our land. We are to be promoting, to be helping people truly move forward in life. How can they do that without the Lord Jesus Christ? The word praise is an interesting word. Two of its meanings are to commend and to shine. I make a commendation, or we might say a recommendation. In Acts chapter number 20, the Apostle Paul was about to leave Ephesus, and he said to the people that he was speaking to, I commend you to God. What he literally meant by that was, I place you in the good care of the Lord. I place you at his feet. I no longer will be able to be with you, but I know who can take care of you so much better than I ever could. The Lord could. And what are we to be doing as disciples? We are to be commending people to God, saying God can do so much more with your life. God can take care of your needs so much better than any man could. And then to shine. The same word, praise, to shine. Like over in the book of Philippians, where he tells us that we are to be shining in the world. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 14 says it like this. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Disciples of the Lord, this morning, we would do good to take notice of that one verse of Scripture right there. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. So we are to be salt and light. We are to be pleasing and preserving, preventing and promoting. We are to be praising in all of our substance. Not only the substance, but I want you to notice secondly for a moment, the Scriptures. The Scriptures. Look there again in Matthew chapter 5. Notice verses 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, Jesus says, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And in verse number 20, he gets down to talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. This is not the first time that the scribes and the Pharisees have been talked about. In Matthew chapter number 3, John the Baptist talks to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, this same sort of group. They are highlighted And it's interesting to me when he begins to talk about these scriptures, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they should have been the ones that knew the word the best. And in many ways, they were. So why does he have to highlight the scriptures as he talks to his disciples? Well, the scribes were to collect the scriptures. All throughout the Word of God, we read about these scribes. And the Pharisees were to connect the scripture. The scribes were to be collecting the scriptures. And then the Pharisees were to be connecting the scriptures. And what had happened is they had both fallen down on the job. So Jesus has to highlight the importance of the scriptures. And he has to compare his disciples to these supposed religious leaders. He talks about the passing of the law here in these verses. He says, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He commends or stamps his approval on the law and the prophets, not only the Pentateuch, but the prophets that would come before and would ultimately tell of Jesus coming. That is the passing of the law, or the passing down of the law. Some might be here today and you might wonder, how in the world did we get the scriptures in the first place? How is it that we can hold in our hands the written word of God and be confident in that? Romans chapter 3 tells us a little bit about that. Paul says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, he says, chiefly because that unto them, the Jew, the circumcised, unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now that word oracles is a very interesting word. It is the Greek logion. Logion. Well, we've been talking about a word here recently, and in the Greek it is logos. It is the word, word, in John chapter number 1. So these oracles of God are literally the words of God, and the Bible says that God basically passed them down through his people, by and large throughout the history of time, the Jewish people. He commended to them the scriptures to be able to pass down to all of us so that we're able to have the scriptures today. The passing of the law. But we also read about the passing from the law. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. It will all come to pass. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. The sort of righteousness that brings reward. Well, we need to realize first the substance, this salt and light, and the way that we have been compared to it. And then the scriptures and the place that they have, they've been passed down to us, the words of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, notice verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of, notice, the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come, hear this, in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. What are they questioning? They are questioning the word of God. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Notice. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Drop down to verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But Jesus says, my words will not pass away till heaven and earth pass. In other words, till all is fulfilled. You can count on the Word of God, the Scriptures. So we have the substance and we have the Scriptures. But finally, to bring it to a point, the sensitivity. I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, I believe he's directly talking about now the scribes and the Pharisees. Notice what he says. Breaking one of the least commandments and teaching men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, in that day and time, certainly the Jewish people would call these scribes and these Pharisees great. They were the great class. And everybody else was in the least class. But Jesus is making a distinction here and a comparison here, and he's saying this: what's great in man's eyes is not so in God's eyes. So what is this sensitivity all about? Jesus says even the least of the commandments is very important. Now, what was the least of the commandments? Well, he goes on to talk about the Ten Commandments and some of them in the remainder of the chapter. He's going back to the very letter of the law. And Jesus is saying this: I'm not removing the importance of the letter of the law. What I'm saying to you is this: not only is it important, but all the rest of the Scriptures are important as well. And see, what these scribes and Pharisees were good about, they were good about simply living by and teaching the letter of the law, and oftentimes they weren't even living by it themselves. Jesus says, you've missed the mark. You've been sensitive enough to be able to deliver the Scriptures and write them down and even teach them, but you don't live by them. You're not sensitive to them. They have no meaning in your life and in your heart. And I'm talking to maybe even some believers this morning. You can quote Scriptures. You know the books of the Bible. You know how many chapters are in the book. You know the history of the Word of God. But there's not a lot of application to the life. And a sensitivity to the message of the Word of God. What does Jesus say about it? He says that there's a concentration of a substance. Hear this. The concentration of a substance speaks to its efficiency and thus its quality. Think about it in these terms. Think about it from the terms of a good perfume. There's a cologne that my wife likes for me to wear, but it's the oil substance cologne. You know, not the watery cologne. The one you pick up at the flea market or whatever, you know, and it lasts about 2 seconds and then the smell goes away. You know what I'm talking about? But that very expensive fragrance that all you have is a little bitty bottle and maybe one or two squirts, that's an efficient, effective substance. It's been concentrated. Think about jewelry. There are jewels that are very, very small and they're not very weighty at all. But because of the cut and the clarity of them, they're extremely expensive. Now, this is what Jesus is talking about. And the concentration of a substance speaks to its efficiency and thus its quality. When we go back to the salt and the light, Jesus said, you are supposed to be concentrated salt and concentrated light. That means the best, the most pure salt and the most pure light. That's the kind that I would have for you to be. But what happens when we don't have a sensitivity to the Word of God? These substances begin to get diluted. This salt that should just immediately bring that pleasure out of the food, it doesn't do a whole lot for it. You got to use a whole lot more because it's been diluted. You understand what I mean by that? So what did Jesus say as a reward? He talked about, number one, a permitted. We can read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. He says that there are going to be some people that literally will get to heaven. They will be in the kingdom of heaven, but they will lose their reward. There will be nothing for them to basically be able to give back to the Lord. It'll simply be their presence there in the kingdom of heaven. So they've been permitted to be there, but Jesus said they are the least in the kingdom of heaven. But there's one that's even more serious than that. In verse number 20, he talks about those that have been prevented. Now notice what it says. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, notice this, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What had happened with this group called the scribes and the Pharisees? I'll tell you what had happened. The scribes and the Pharisees had become so deluded, hear this, that their substance was basically fully altered. As if they weren't even salt anymore, as if they weren't even light anymore. And Jesus says, except your righteousness exceed that kind of righteousness, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. You can look right on the outside, you can look like salt, and you can look like light, but you're so deluded in that you're attempting to look a certain way and appeal to mankind and so on. Jesus said, I have no use whatsoever for you. Look over at John chapter 5. We're going to close in this passage here. John chapter number 5. The sort of righteousness that brings reward. What kind of righteousness is it ultimately that brings reward? Well, it's a righteousness that pays attention, that is sensitive to the Scriptures. Every part. Not the part that steps on the toes of another, but the part that steps on my toes. Every part. John chapter 5, verse number 39. Notice this, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Now drop down to verse number 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, here's the thing. The Pharisees and the scribes, they had lost sensitivity for the Scripture. It simply became sort of like a job. Or a pastime. And they were not able to see what the substance of the Scriptures was all about, and therefore they were not able to be what God had ultimately called them to be. They were deluded in their sensitivity of the Scriptures. And so Jesus says there is a type like these Pharisees and these scribes that will not enter the kingdom of heaven because they don't realize what the Bible is actually about. And why is every part so important? Hear this morning. Because every part speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear this. If you don't hear anything else, and if nothing else registers this morning. That's the reason why at Open Door Baptist Church, we cannot shy away from preaching and teaching every part of the Word of God. There are some that say, you know, things like standards in this day and age in which we live, they're not so important to the grand scheme of things. I would like to argue with you. I think every part God put in for a purpose, and just because we lose our sensitivity doesn't mean that God doesn't mean it to be in there, and it has much importance. Does that make sense to you? So we must be sensitive to the entire Word of God. The sword of righteousness that brings reward is the concentrated sword. Not primarily the quantitative sort, but the qualitative sort. Not simply saying, I've got all the words of God. Thank God you do. But are you applying it so that you're being purified by the word? So that then there can be a reward brought to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's this old substance. I'm told about it. I don't think I was around at the time. But it was a hair product, and their tagline was, a little dab will do you. Anybody remember that? Maybe you know this one. Baptist people are used to singing hymns, little is much when God is in it. So it's not about how we keep the letter of the law and how we look. It is much deeper than that. Little is much when God is in it, and there are things in our lives that God begins to speak about, and it may just be a small thing, but there's a sensitivity to it. And that is the sword of righteousness that brings reward. Could I say this? When we make little of God's word, we are made little. When we make much of God's word, we are made much. Now, let me ask you this question this morning. Have you been sensitive enough to the word of God to realize that it speaks in every part from Genesis to Revelation about Jesus, about his death, his burial, his resurrection, his sacrifice on your behalf? The scribes, the Pharisees, they refused him, they rejected him. And yet the word of God, every part of it was about him. Have you been sensitive enough to the word of God to realize Jesus was given in exchange for your life? His life was given so that you might have eternal life with the Lord. And if you have received him as Savior, could I ask you this, Christian? Are you sensitive enough to the word of God that one day when you get to the kingdom of heaven, you will have a reward to be able to give back? You say, how does that accomplished? How do I receive the reward? You get in the Word of God, and you pay attention to every part. Every part. And seek not only to do it, but to teach it. Jesus says, in that way, you'll have a reward. Now, the rewards of this life, they're like that candy bar. They last a little while. Mankind may laud us. They may think we're great. God knows the truth. The reward that he gives, it's eternal, it's forever. If you've not ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, may I just say to you, it's the most important need that you have. God's got a reward for you. It's called eternal life.